Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't forget, we go into NBA draft coverage here on ESPN Upstate in an hour. Diesel, now you see up on the TV set right here. See why I think it's a half NBA draft, half fashion show? You see some dude wearing a royal blue, very shiny suit back there. There's another guy to the left of him that's got a pretty funky sports blazer on. Yeah, that's part of it, no doubt. We do have some breaking news. Just a couple of minutes ago, the Atlanta Hawks have acquired the New Orleans Pelicans' number 4 pick in the draft for the number 8, 17, and 35 picks. So we already have our first change in the top 5. Now the Atlanta Hawks have the number 4 pick from the New Orleans Pelicans. So we'll keep you up to date on this stuff. But Diesel, how many schools, legitimately, how many schools do you feel like in college athletics have a legitimate chance to win a national championship in football? In basketball.
In a given year, or are you talking theoretically?
Theoretically, but even a given year, because I really think it comes down to about 3 or 4 schools that could ever pull the feat.
Okay.
I think you got to put Michigan in there. Why? Because we've seen them have good football seasons, even though Jim Harbaugh will never lead them to a national championship. We've seen them win championships in basketball in just the last couple of years. We saw them make the finals in basketball. I think you got to throw Ohio State into that list. Why? Because we've seen them win championships in football. They made it as far as the Final Four in basketball. They've even had a number 1 draft pick in Greg Oden. Florida has proven that they could do it. They won back-to-back titles in basketball and, you know, definitely fallen off since then, but and they've got the ability to do it in football. Outside of that, it's kind of few and far between. So most schools are either football or basketball. Now, there are some schools that do well in both worlds, but Sporting News put down a list of the top 20 coaching combos when it comes to college football and college basketball in this country. And it was kind of, first of all, number 1, it's wrong. I hate to say that to other people, but you can't have number 19 on the list be it one of the 2 coaches that now have a national championship. So let's go through this, because this is actually going to surprise you, especially right off the bat, Diesel. But according to Sporting News, let's also say, taking in, this is what they did to decide this. Let me just quantify. It says some major college athletic programs are football schools, others are basketball schools. A select few, however, are built for success in both sports. When looking at the current men's coaches from NCAA Division I, FBS, and Hoops, Sporting News thought it was a question worth asking. Which universities boast the most impressive and accomplished coaching combinations? Taking into consideration the overall quality of leadership, including past successes and future upsides, Sporting News counts down the top 20 coaching duos in college sports. Coming in at number 20, Diesel, the University of Louisville, with basketball Chris Mack and football Scott Satterfield.
Giving the guy a whole lot of credit who's never coached down in the FBS. At a Power 5, excuse
me. I was going to say, don't belittle your own current situation. But, you know, I think he gets a lot of credit for the transition that he guided and everything else. And then Chris Mack managed, well, first of all, he went 47-16 at App State at Scott Satterfield. But Chris Mack came in and dealt with a lot of crap that Rick Pitino left in the place. So they have a combined overall record of 68.9%. Number 19 is ridiculous for this list. And you know we love our guys at Sporting News. Bill Bender's one of our good friends. How in the world can you have as the 19th best coaching combination at Virginia, Bronco Mendenhall and Tony Bennett? Tony Bennett just won a national championship in basketball this year in one of the greatest turnaround stories from being the first ever number one seed. Bronco Mendenhall went 8-5 last year at Virginia when he had the quote of ACC football media days when he said, "I don't think we got 40 Division I players on our roster." All he did was take that roster, go 8-5, including the win over South Carolina in the Belt Bowl. I am sorry. Bronco Mendenhall also had a lot of success at BYU. This combination of Bronco Mendenhall and Tony Bennett should be much higher than number 19. Agree or disagree? I guess that depends on what's coming, huh?
Broncos, he's doing okay at Virginia. Sure, I think they should be a little higher than that.
8-5 this year with 40 players. But again, remember, he rebuilt that program at BYU as well. All right, number 18 on this list. By the way, the combined coaching records percentage-wise win for Mendenhall and Tony Bennett, 70.1%. Number 18 on this list, Jim Harbaugh and Juwan Howard. Of course, that's all football with Jim Harbaugh at 67-35. Juwan Howard, he's a replacement for John Beilein, who left to go coach the Cleveland Cavaliers. So that one's kind of hard to judge right there. Number 17, this would be a lot higher up the list if not dealing with a new first-year head coach, but Ohio State with Ryan Day and Chris Holtmann. They have at number 16 on the list, TCU. It's an interesting. Gary Patterson's done a good job at TCU. Jamie Dixon almost got the UCLA coaching job this year, just a year or two removed from being at Pittsburgh. So that's an interesting group of coaches there at number 16. Number 15, they have Auburn. They've got Gus Malzahn and Bruce Pearl. Now, Bruce Pearl can flat out coach. Bruce Pearl just got to keep himself out of trouble. Gus Malzahn, I'm not sure there's a coach in Power 5 that maybe has more pressure on him to perform this year than Gus Malzahn. Now, one of the things that may soften it if Auburn doesn't get off to the quick start that they need would be the fact that the Auburn fan base is in mourning mode with, of course, the loss of Rod Bramblett and his wife, Paula. But Gus Malzahn got a lot of pressure on him this year. But Sporting News calls the combination of Gus Malzahn and Bruce Pearl the 15th best coaching combination in college athletics. Number 14, I could not disagree anymore with. I mean, go ahead and start moving Virginia up into number 14 and put UCLA down at number 19, because what has Chip Kelly done? He did something at Oregon. He's done nothing at UCLA. And Mick Cronin has really never gotten Cincinnati out of the second round of the NCAA tournament. So how in the world can you put Chip Kelly and Mick Cronin as the 14th best coaching combination in college athletics? All right, number 13, I think this one will go higher eventually, but they have Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher and Buzz Williams. I love Buzz. He's a great coach. Jimbo, we'll see. But name-wise, that looks like it would be higher than number 13 on the list. But you combine their winning percentages, and it's only 65.5% for Jimbo Fisher and Buzz Williams. Let's get a couple of more before the break. And then I want some of y'all to call in and challenge some of these combinations that may be in the top 10, because a couple of them surprised me in its own right. At number 12, according to Sporting News, Chris Peterson and Mike Hopkins is 76.1% winning percentages for those two coaches at the University of Washington. Let's get in two more, and then we'll give you the top nine when we come back. At number 11, Dino Babers and Jim Boeheim. No more wins, I think, on this list than these two combined. 1,083 wins versus 413 losses. It's a winning percentage of 72.4%. And listen, Dino Babers, he's got a bright future, whether Syracuse can hold on to him not or not. I think remains to be seen, but think about it. Everybody knows Jim Boeheim on this list. A lot of people forget that Dino Babers led the Orange in football last year to only their seventh double-digit win season ever. All right, number 10 on this list, Georgia. Kirby Smart and Tom Crean. Obviously, Kirby Smart's now got the Bulldogs back in the conversation when it comes to the SEC and even a national championship. Tom Crean had some good times at Indiana, but has that necessarily transitioned to Georgia? I mean, you had Nicholas Claxton this year from right here at Legacy Charter, and he couldn't get anything done in basketball. Now you got the number one, one of the highest rated recruits in the country coming in out of the Atlanta area. But, of course, he's going to be one and done. So I almost at times think Tom Crean gets more credit based off of his brother-in-law's than he does his own accomplishments. So who do you think's left in the top nine? Do we have anybody locally in the state of South Carolina? Do we have anybody? I mean, you know who's probably going to be number one on this list, much less maybe number two, or maybe it's not in the order that you think. Give us a challenge. Give us two. Who do you think's number one on this list now that you've heard the first 11? Do you think Duke's coming up in the top five? Give us a call, 844-GSP-ESPN. Don't forget, guys, go to ESPNUpstate.com. Get registered for the locker room. There's premium content in there. And you got a chance to win a pair of Weird Al Yankovic tickets here in Simpsonville later on. And don't forget, you can always take us anywhere you're going with the radio.com app. And, of course, you have us on 97.7 FM in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1338. AM down in the Anderson area.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, welcome back in. We've been talking about the best 1-2 punch when it comes to football and basketball coaches in college athletics. Eric patiently waited through the break. Let's get his opinion. Eric, I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to just take a guess at who's number one on that list. I'm going to say Michigan State with Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo.
I will let you know that they are number two. They are actually number two, and that might have been my number one. I actually think they got this one wrong. Diesel, stay on with this, Eric, real quick. Diesel, who do you think that they have at one, two, you know, number one on this list?
Well, it's not going to be Dabo and Brad.
Nope, they're actually number nine, and that to me is too high. All right, but number one on this list, Eric, is North Carolina with Mack Brown and Roy Williams. Now, they both have national titles, but Mack Brown's came at Texas, all right? I would go with number three is my best, which is Coach K and David Cutcliffe at Duke, because anybody that can take Duke to six bowl games in 7 years like David Cutcliffe has done, I mean, you're not going to win a national championship at Duke, but he has done things that have never been done there before, minus the, you know, in the modern era of college athletics. How about that?
I like that. I also think Auburn should be higher on the list, too, because based on what they did this year with Bruce Pearl making it to the Final Four, and we know Melzon's been to a national championship game, too. But, yeah, I just thought I'd call in, get you guys' opinion. I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah,
and I'll let you guys take it from here.
Yeah, and I love that thought because, you know, Tom Izzo, just an absolute mastermind there at Michigan State, and then people fail to admit, you know, how good over the years that Mark D'Antonio's been. However, they've taken a little bit of a trek backwards since that loss to Alabama in the Cotton Bowl that year. All right, so let's go through this list. Now you know one is North Carolina. Two is Duke. Two is Michigan State. Three is Duke. So let's take a look at some of these others and, you know, bring it to us. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Number nine on this list, Dabo Swinney and Brad Brunell. Now, they only have a 65.1% winning percentage, but Dabo Swinney has turned Clemson into a national power on the gridiron. Brad Brunell's gotten them to a Sweet 16 last year in basketball. But again, I mean, I would love to know how that compares at number 19 to Bronco Mendenhall and Tony Bennett, because Tony Bennett has a national championship in basketball, and Bronco Mendenhall is one in football at a place that hadn't historically done well. So I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Let's get Joe's thought. What's your best 1-2 punch when it comes to college coaching?
Well, I'm going to go off the grid here, because
please,
I know these two coaches are both not in the game no more, but back for Virginia Tech. What about, Seth Green and Frank Beamer?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Beamer managed to get to a national championship game against Florida State back in the day. And Seth Green, you know, listen, he had the first good run at Virginia Tech in a long, long time in college basketball. I mean, they had been really, really down. And number two, with that combination, Joe, you might be hard-pressed to find two more impressive individuals. Those are two guys I think very, very highly about. And Frank Beamer will always be one of my wife's favorites because, you know, he took the time to send her that card when she was going through chemotherapy with her breast cancer. So number nine on the list, again, Dabo Swinney and Brad Brunell. Quite frankly, I dropped that back a little bit based off it's awfully one-sided with Dabo's accomplishments. Number eight on the list, though, because you can move them up compared to number eight. And again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But Sporting News has the eight best power coaching combo at Kentucky: Mark Stoops and John Calipari. Now, the thing is, Calipari has one national title. Mark Stoops has one 10-year win season. But when you combine their career records, it's a 75% winning percentage. I mean, Stoops, the fact that they delivered the first 10 win seasons in Kentucky football in 41 years at a basketball school, I guess that can't be overlooked. But to me, that's no bigger or better than Brad Brunell making a Sweet 16 in college basketball at Clemson, which is a football school. Now, when you just get into wins, there's a lot there at Kentucky, but a lot of those come from Coach Calipari. So number seven, according to Sporting News, is Notre Dame with Brian Kelly and Mike Bray. They have a combined career record 7-42 in wins, 3-30 in losses, nearly 70% winning percentage. And, you know, the thing is, you throw in women's basketball with Muffet McGraw, and then you may actually have the most stable situation there at Notre Dame. Number six is garbage, because you can't give Les Miles credit for winning a national championship at LSU now that he's the head coach at Kansas. And then I'll maintain that Bill Self has maybe done less with a bigger coaching situation at Kansas than anybody out there. but they do have a 75.5% winning percentage, and they have a combined career record of 822 and 266. Natties matter. Rings matter. But the chances that the Mad Hatter is winning a ring at Kansas is compared to LSU, it just doesn't equate. It doesn't equate. And again, you know, this is just one of a couple of national championship tandems on this list, but my God, Bill Self has had more opportunities. So I think in the long run, he doesn't really, he hadn't lived up to his lineage as being head coach at Kansas, but that's number six on the list. Number five, Alabama. I didn't brag about it, so you don't get to make the noise, but they actually have Alabama, obviously, Nick Saban, the number of national titles, six national titles between two schools in 11 straight seasons with a minimum of 10 wins. I mean, that's consistency, Diesel, when it comes to college football. Now, you ask about Nate Oates, the new Alabama basketball coach. He comes in from Buffalo. He's 59-13 the last two seasons with second-round appearances in the NCAA tournament, and he'll get more talent to work with at Alabama. Number four on this list is Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley and Lon Kruger. Now, again, the majority of the wins come from Lon Kruger in his long career, but it is hard to deny that Lincoln Riley is kind of an offensive wonder kind, if you will. Back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners with Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. We'll find out what he will do with Jalen Hurts. Lon Kruger has been a little bit of everywhere. He had his best days, in my opinion, at the University of Florida. But he has gotten the Oklahoma Sooners to the NCAA tournament in six of the past eight seasons, including a Final Four in 2016. Again, rounding out Sporting News, best 1-2 punch when it comes to college coaches. Number three, David Cutcliffe and Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. Number two, Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo at Michigan State. And number one, in their opinion, North Carolina, Mack Brown and Roy Williams. And listen, at Duke, that combination of Cutcliffe and Kay, 1,243 wins versus 445 losses, 73.6 winning percentage at North Carolina, 1,109 wins versus 351 losses for 75.9. So pretty interesting list. Let's get Steven in before we get out to break. Steven, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
Hey, it's good. Thank you. You know, I think the one on that list that's way off is Michigan with Harbaugh and Juwan Howard. Now, if you're not going to allow Les Miles to have credit for LSU and winning, then you can't dock Juwan Howard for the great hand that was left to him by Beeline. And when it comes to Harbaugh, he's, now that Urban Meyer's out of the Big Ten, he's one game away from making the playoffs two of the past 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, we swing the pendulum too much on Harbaugh. When he's good, we overinflate how good he is. And when he's bad, we very much overinflate how bad he is. So, Michigan's not that far off from being able to win bowl.
Yeah, and that, again, Steven, before you go, I actually named them as one of three schools that legitimately could pull this off. I think it's Michigan, I think it's Ohio State, and at times it's Florida, because you got to have a massive athletic department to pull this kind of feat off. Now, my thing is, I get that Les Miles is a good coach. He's won a national title at LSU, but he wanted to get back into coaching at Kansas. So we'll see how that pairs out. But, you know, where does Army fall in this list, Stephen? Because Todd Monken, boy, he's done great things there at West Point.
Well, I mean, as far as football is concerned, we've won the national championship the past 2 years over the other only public colleges that have or national public colleges that have football. So we're only – we just need to win the basketball one now. I will say this, though. I got to say, give some – I like how they gave some love to the other New York team up there, Syracuse. And what would be pretty cool is if they actually pulled it off, both those teams play in the same facility. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that could be said for any of those schools.
And let me correct myself. Thanks to Diesel, it's Jeff Munkin. Todd Munkin is his brother. My apologies in insulting you. But yeah, listen, you know, this much we know about Juwan Howard. He is going to bring a name because he was the original signee in the Fab Five. But the best thing Juwan Howard did, Stephen, was hire Phil Martelli, who was, speaking of New York schools, unceremoniously dumped by St. Joe's. I mean, a run of 20-something years at St. Joseph's in the same crappy gym the entire time that university never spent more than $10 in fixing up in between years. What a great run by Phil Martelli at St. Joe's, and he's going to be the head bench coach at Michigan and that guy that Juwan Howard bends on for some advice. And congratulations. That first move by Juwan Howard may pay off big dividends for the Michigan Wolverines. All right, you can give us your opinion on who's the best 1-2 punch in college coaching, but hey, we got updated recruiting rankings, Diesel, including one of the strangest notes out there when it comes to recruiting in the state of Florida. Give it to us straight up. 844-GSP-ESPN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So, Diesel, a little bit of Omaha Romo. It's open phones here in the final two segments, 19 minutes until we lead into the NBA draft. I want you to give us an update. You put a Twitter poll out at the end of the show yesterday when we were talking about NASCAR and some of the issues that are going on with NASCAR. Give us an update on that.
Yeah, we got 90 votes over the course of the 24 hours. Do you even watch NASCAR anymore was the question. Three choices were I watch every week, not as much as I used to, and I stopped watching altogether. 67% of those votes said they stopped watching. 21% said not as much as they used to. Only 12% of those voters still said they watch every single week.
How do you get that back? Can you get it back? Once they're gone and they've turned their back on you in that way and you're not developing new stars coming down the line that don't want to be what NASCAR was in the past. You know, they want to be a button down. They don't want to be a Dale Earnhardt known as the bad guy or a red. They want to be known as a businessman that shows up in a tie and can go, you know, be the corporate spokesperson for all these different companies.
Well, what's interesting is we had Steven on the line yesterday, who we just had on two segments ago. He's from upstate New York. And he still looks at NASCAR like it's a redneck sport. Mm-hmm. So as much as they've tried over the past decade or 22 decades to try to get away from that, you know, redneck heritage and that redneck mindset that a lot of people have, the opinion they have of them, people still have it. It's not changing. It's not going anywhere.
And the thing is let's make sure that when we say we're here in South Carolina and talking about people going, oh, you know, we welcome that term redneck. You know what I mean? I you can call me a redneck. It doesn't offend me. You know why? Because most people want to end up here in the South before it all's said and done.
Well, this is interesting. At Tiger Fan Clint replied to that poll and said, I watched every single race, watched qualifying even, but when they went to this championship format, it took all the fun out of it for me. NASCAR is about consistency, not resetting points four times and one race deciding it. They started resetting the races into stages. Hashtag not my NASCAR.
All right. So it's got, I mean, name another sport that essentially has their Super Bowl to begin the year. I mean, the Daytona 500 is the biggest race that people point to and lead up to. It has several, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of buildup for it and everything else, and then boom, that's, you know. Now, if you nail me to it, I would just simply, you know, my first choice would be go to Bristol at night. That's the one everybody said. If you go check that out and you can feel it and everything else, you'll probably go back to another NASCAR race.
Well, NASCAR's policy over the last 5 to 10 years has been to try to manufacture the drama instead of just letting it happen by having personalities.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Let's get Jimmy's thoughts on NASCAR. Jimmy, I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Man, it's instant millionaire night, and we're not talking about the Powerball. You know what I mean?
Go Zion.
Yep.
All right, so I want to talk about NASCAR. There's a few reasons why I do not watch NASCAR at all anymore. For one, I was getting sick of Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus getting by with cheating and winning all the titles. Let's see, Austin Dillon getting Dale Earnhardt's number 3. That was a big mistake, I think, for Richard Childress to do that for his grandson. And then Dale Jr. retired. So those are a few of the biggest reasons I do not watch NASCAR anymore.
Yeah, the thing is you got to be replacing talent with talent, personalities with personalities, and, you know, it needs to be a seamless transition. And the bad part about it is Diesel, there was literally no way that NASCAR could prepare for what happened with Dale Earnhardt. You know, even at that age, he's still in some of the prime of his racing. And, you know, you go back and look at that wreck, you know, that Michael Waltrip wins his first and biggest race on, and you go, wow, that didn't look that bad. You know, as compared to some of the things we've seen with cars barreling down, you know, and spiral, you know, it was just the bluntness of the impact and the force going right against that wall the way it did. So, you know, that's one way. That's something you couldn't prepare for. That's like, that's kind of like Marshall football. You couldn't prepare for what happened for that. But they had to go about it and do it and get ready for the next year in a very unique way. So we see spring football coming back next year, Diesel. And you brought and found a really interesting article. When we come back, what is the XFL do? Tease them on what they're going to do to protect themselves with injuries.
No, you're going to have to come back and listen to us on the other side to find out what they're doing.
Final segment. So, Diesel, I think when you go back and look at it from the end, the AAF, Alliance of American Football, made it 8 weeks before being shut down. It was a complete and total joke. They weren't ready for it. So now the onus is on the XFL. Part two. Vince McMahon's not getting into this with $500 million of his own money to go be made fun of and not be successful. And you hit me up with this earlier, and you're seeing some thoughts and results of the XFL's thinking that show me this potentially is a little bit of a different ballgame than we've seen before when it comes to spring football.
Well, the AAF survived 8 weeks. The XFL has 8 teams, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. They don't have 8 teams. They actually have 9.
Didn't even know that.
They have an entire roster of additional players ready to go at the drop of a hat. They are staying together. They are practicing together. They are staying in shape together so that if and when injuries occur in XFL games, they can just pluck somebody off of the roster, which I think is a brilliant idea. This is just, it's an absolutely fantastic idea. Here's a quote from the league commissioner. What we want to try to avoid is our teams having to sign players off the street. An example, Dez Bryant signed with the Saints this past NFL season. The first 10 minutes of that particular practice, he tears an Achilles. And so we want to avoid that. That's quite honestly a costly workers' compensation claim. So we want to have a group of guys that will be based in Dallas who are basically staying in shape. We think that because our 25-second play clock, our game is going to require, quite honestly, a little bit better conditioning than what some of these guys may be used to in the NFL or CFL. So it's important that these guys are in shape, and it's hard to stay in football shape on your own. That's been one of my beliefs. You need to be around others. Now, the one thing that I can think of is that maybe 40 guys is not going to be enough for an entire season. I don't know how long their inaugural season is supposed to be, but do you really think 40 guys, because injuries can happen very easily. You can lose two or three guys or more in a game. So if you've got to pull 40 guys off of a roster, how many do you have at each individual position? I don't think this group of additional players, this ninth team, is going to have enough depth to be able to fuel the entire league. So, you know, in my opinion, they need to have at least a three deep at every position on this roster.
So basically what they have done is they've created a league practice squad that if you have an injury situation, you can more or less go to the ATM and take out a payment. You know what?
Sure.
You get a defensive end. So,
yep. So, you know, and I just wonder what's going to happen if two teams or three teams lose a defensive end on the same week. Now, who knows? I would assume that most of these players are going to be, you know, the quote-unquote athletes that can move around and play multiple different positions. Really, they're just there to sort of plug and play. So it's an interesting concept to see how this is going to work. But what did we say earlier when we were trying to figure out how how the AAF would function if it actually did receive some backing from the NFL? We said, I came up with the concept of, why don't three or four NFL teams sort of support one team? So this one AAF team can essentially act as the practice squad for three or four NFL teams mm-hmm. in their regular season. And look at it. It's happening right here. Vince McMahon, send the check to 25 Garlington Road, care of Diesel for the idea.
I mean, do they need a water boy? Because they made an entire movie about that back in the day. I mean, I'll sign up to be the practice squad water boy for enough money. You can even make me that guy. Do you remember when Michigan brought their water boy on during the film The Water Boy and he got completely laid out? So I'll sign up for that for enough money.
But just the question is, does it sort of operate as a relegation system? If you're injured and a call-up player has to come and play your position, do you then move down to this practice squad while you're rehabbing?
Could be interesting, but you know
what?
It's
a really interesting concept.
The way to keep the product from going down too far is having the ability to plug other people in. Now, the thing is what are you going to do? Some coaches are going to run different schemes. You know what I mean? So how does this apply when all this is coming down? So,
yeah, you really never know what kind of scheme you're going to be brought into if you're one of these practice squad guys, but you know, it gives you time and you're in game shape ready to go because you just don't have the roster sizes that the NFL has. It's the best case scenario or the best case sort of Band-Aid on a bad situation that you can come up with without having to maintain a bigger roster yourself.
Well, the funny thing is we are now seeing things come out of Vince McMahon that you're going, wow, they're looking like they're really trying to dot the I's and cross the T's. So we'll see how it plays out. And again, I don't think a guy that's made billions of dollars in his work career is going to go out there to be publicly maligned or made fun of for not losing money once in professional football, but repeating it and losing twice. So that's the way it is, and it's going to be interesting. And, again, that will get started in this February with the XFL. So, you know, going to be interesting. Now, listen, this is the kind of crap that I hate, all right? We got to get on it. We got to get better, people. Grambling State, you know Grambling, where Doug Williams was the head coach, and Grambling State, maybe the biggest most well-known HBCU. Grambling State football player Darryl Clark and his younger brother were shot late Wednesday night in New Orleans. Clark's younger brother was fatally wounded while Clark a rising senior wide receiver for the Tigers, was said to be in stable condition following surgery. Grambling tight ends coach Daryl Kitchen confirmed the report early Thursday morning. From what I'm hearing, Clark will make it. I'm just distraught about the whole situation. So, you know what? Why do we have to keep answering stuff with guns and shootings and things of that nature? So, you know, sad times for the people at Grambling. And you know what? I just hate it. And, you know, somebody's, you know, there's nothing good that comes out of a situation like that. All right, we're getting ready to go into the NBA draft coverage here in a couple of minutes on ESPN Upstate. I will say this much. We had heard and said most of the mock drafts were in agreement until a little bit ago. It looked like Zion to New Orleans, Ja Morant to Memphis, not to mention R.J. Barrett to New York, and then Jarrett Culver to the New Orleans Pelicans. And the fifth, most people had DeAndre Hunter going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, we can tell you Atlanta has traded for the number four pick in the draft. And guess what? They have set their sights on DeAndre Hunter, the Virginia Cavaliers. So we'll see. There'll be more in this. Now I hear Memphis is maybe the Minnesota Timberwolves have moved up to number six. So a lot of things getting ready to take place here over the next couple of hours. And of course, the best part about the NBA draft, it is done and it's over tonight. So anyway, we'll be back in studio tomorrow. Diesel, one of the things that we're getting into tomorrow when it comes to sports is everybody needs a good wingman, right? Everybody needs a good wingman. So who are some of the greatest wingman in sports history? We'll get into that and a whole lot more, including a college football question of the game. So have a blessed evening. Enjoy the draft. That's pretty much all we got going on, and we will have fun. And tomorrow we will take a look at who messed up, because somebody will have before all is said and done. But in the meantime, make sure you go get registered for the ESPN Locker Room. And guess what? We've got tickets for Weird Al Yankovic. Also, if you're going out of town, make sure you download the radio.com app. Guess what? We will be anywhere as long as you look up ESPN Upstate. Also, go follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, at Sturgis Sports, at Diesel on Radio. In the meantime, enjoy your Thursday evening. Enjoy the NBA draft. Enjoy Zion's white suit. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 4 p.m. for another edition of Straight Up with Sturge.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.